The new rule to protect Tom DeLay, Arlen Specter pressing his case to be chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and the Bush cabinet makeover. Big post-election developments for our guest political observers to chew on. Here are columnist E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post, and filling in this week for David Brooks, Todd Lindbergh, editor of Policy Review and research fellow at the Hoover Institution. Welcome once again.
Thank you.
Thanks.
As we've just heard, House Republicans stood by their very conservative majority leader, and in their meeting today, we should add, Senate Republicans seemed to stand by the seniority rule that would make the not-so-conservative Arlen Specter chairman of Judiciary. Todd, what do you infer from any of this about what the strengthened Republican majorities in the 109th Congress are likely to do?
Well, I think you'll misread this if you look at it essentially through a lens of Democrats and Republicans. This is, or for that matter, internal party politics. What this is about is institutional power and how it works, and it's an illustration of how different those the workings of institutional power are in the Senate and the House. The House is a body where the majority rules more or less absolutely. The Senate is not. The Senate is, in some respects, it resembles a kind of feudal arrangement where you've got independent barons, in effect, who have to come to terms with each other and make their rules. And there's a substantially greater amount of weight attached to institutional precedent and so forth in the Senate. So I think that is the nutshell of the difference in the way the two bodies go about deciding things.
E.J. Dionne?
Well, I think the Republicans say, what's an indictment among friends? I mean, the Republicans took power in Washington by promising, to use the president's phrase, to restore honor and dignity. And as Chris Shays pointed out so clearly, that was the essence of the Gingrich Revolution. It wasn't just ideological. It was that people in power in the Democratic majority abused their authority and ran roughshod over the rules. I think Republicans are going to regret doing this at some point. And a lot of people who voted for that change behind closed doors may someday, depending on what happens in the DeLay case, claim that they actually voted against it. Shays speaking out is very interesting because I think this is a real test for moderate Republicans.
This is Chris Shays of Connecticut.
Right, who spoke
heard
in
Andrea's report.
Yes, exactly. And moderate Republicans often reluctantly have gone along with Tom DeLay's way of running the House. They voted for rules that restricted the ability of moderates, both in their party and the Democratic Party, to push alternatives to what the conservatives wanted. Shays speaking out is very interesting. It's going to be fascinating if other Republicans join him and say, wait a minute, we don't really like the way this place is being run.
Well, speaking of moderate Republicans, Todd, you think Senator Specter that the rules of the Senate will prevail, and you think he will become Judiciary Chairman?
You know, it's very difficult, even for with a substantial amount of outside pressure, which is certainly forthcoming now from conservatives who have been emailing and calling and, in general, expressing their dismay at the comments that that Specter made immediately after the election. But it's very difficult to dislodge a system like that because all of a sudden people start wondering altogether what the rules are. I mean, it's distinctly not clubbable, and because of that, I think it's likely that he will hold on.
He commented on the unlikelihood of someone who opposed Roe v. Wade getting confirmed by what presumably would be the committee he chairs.
Right, and in fact, he's being punished for saying something that, as a piece of political analysis, may well be true. Certainly, what he said, the filibuster would come into play. I think he's going to come under enormous pressure. It wouldn't be surprising if he has to issue a statement saying he'd confirm Genghis Khan if President Bush put him before the Senate. I think this is another challenge for the Republicans. They win seats by having moderates in moderate states say certain things before the election. Now we're learning they're going to exercise discipline against them after the election if they stick to what they told the voters.
On to the cabinet right now. There have been many departures announced, but some more notable than others. Yesterday, President Bush announced his new Secretary of State.
During the last 4 years, I've relied on her counsel, benefited from her great experience, and appreciated her sound and steady judgment. And now I'm honored that she has agreed to serve in my cabinet. Secretary of State is America's face to the world. And in Dr. Rice, the world will see the strength, the grace, and the decency of our country.
Condoleezza Rice in, Colin Powell out. Todd? Lindbergh, what's the difference?
Well, I think the biggest difference is that you will now find a State Department that is aligned with the White House in terms of the message that it takes and conveys around the world. Powell, it was an interesting moderating or a different point of view from within this administration, obviously, from what was going on in Cheney's office and what was going on in the Defense Department. But nevertheless, in being so, two things. One, he lost a lot of those fights. And two, he, in certain respects, marginalized the influence of the State Department as a whole. He did a lot to improve the morale of the people serving there. But nevertheless, that era is over. And I think in Rice, you'll have somebody who will be, you know, who will be very firmly on the president's team and advance the message, the policy message.
E.J. Dionne, equally sanguine about Dr. Rice at State?
Well, you know, the people who said Iraq was going to be a cakewalk or staying in, and the people who had doubts about the war are being tossed aside. Not only Powell, but also Richard Armitage, his very loyal and very distinguished deputy. Clearly,
although, in fairness, the CIA director who said there was a slam dunk there to be weapons of mass destruction is also gone.
Right, and it's funny you say that because you also have these people leaving the CIA. And if you saw a problem there, it was that the CIA was too prepared to say whatever the administration wanted to say. And now they're trying to enforce even greater loyalty inside the CIA. I mean, if you agree with the thrust of the Bush policy, then you say, aha, finally, we will have coherence. If you have worries about the Bush direction, as I do, you begin to worry that there won't be alternative voices there to slow things down or, to use the word that Todd sort of used initially, moderated the Bush policies.
Well, moderate. You know, it is not useful to the United States government to have an incoherent message being taken. You know, maybe, and it's difficult to make the case, actually, EJ, that an incoherent message taken abroad is better than a consistent message, even if you don't agree with the consistent message. This is not an administration that is going to run the country's foreign policy off the rails. What's more, you know, they just won an election based largely on their view, which they were not hesitant about articulating about what they wanted to do on foreign policy. So I think you'll now see in place a team that fairly consistently and coherently implements that vision.
And if it works brilliantly, they'll all get the credit. But I think the really disturbing one to me is Mr. Gonzalez as the new Attorney General.
White House Counsel Alberto Gonzalez becoming the new Attorney General. He's nominated to succeed John Ashcroft.
Right. And it's no knock on him personally. It's having somebody this close to the president in the Attorney General's job. Yes, it's happened before. But in the post-Watergate period, we tended to want a little bit of independence in the Justice Department. And I think he will obviously be questioned about Abu Ghraib. But what you've got here is a really close team. I owe a lot of who I am today to George Bush Club. That will create coherence. It will also create very little dissent. And injustice, I think it raises questions.
Todd Lindbergh, you have the last brief word.
Well, Bush values loyalty. And I think he is more satisfied with the appointments that he made from his first term with those who had that quality going in, and he's rewarding them for it in the second term.
Thanks to both of you for your observations. Todd Lindbergh of Policy Review and E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post.
Thank you.